Pure Dog Talk is the voice of purebred dogs. We talk to the legends of the sport and give you the tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I am your host, Laura Reeves, and we are super fortunate. This is the second sort of book review I've gotten to do recently, and I'm very, very excited about this. We have Sandy Mesmer, and she has published just recently the first, I believe, and we're going to hear more about this, of a coloring book for purebred dogs. And this is Color Me Canine, a coloring book for dog lovers of all ages. And I have to tell you, it's fabulous. So, Sandy, thank you so much and welcome. Thank you for joining us.
It's my pleasure.
Awesome. Okay, so you know the drill, right? Give us the 411. How did you get started in dogs? And am I correct? I'm guessing here. Silky Terriers are your breed?
Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm. I am so good.
That's correct.
So what got you in purebred dogs and what brought you to Silky Terriers?
Absolutely. Well, I went to my first dog show when I was 8 years old. I've always been a dog lover, and my mom took me and my brother. We had standard poodles, just pets, but from a good kennel, the Beltor kennel that some of your listeners may remember.
Yeah.
And we went to the first company Governor's Foot Guard Dog Show, which is, of course, a mouthful.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was late January, early February, and it was freezing cold.
Mm.
And we got inside, and it had benching at the time, and I just loved it. I just absolutely adored. I was walking up and down the aisles, and I loved everybody's purpose. They seemed so purposeful, and they were breeding these purpose-bred dogs, and I just absolutely adored it. And at that same show, I remember the best intro winner. It was the Old English Show dog, Raggedy Andy.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Are you familiar with that dog?
Yes.
Yeah. And I said, I want to do this. And I turned to my mom, and I said, I want to show our poodle. And she said, yeah, it's too late. She's already safe.
And what year was this? Put this in context for people.
Sure. 1962.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking 60s. I couldn't place it, so that's why I asked.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So fast forward a bunch of years, and I'm an adult. I'm married. I've got my first kid, and I'm like, okay, I'm ready. So I go out, and I get a Yorkshire Terrier, and they were telling me that it was show quality, but of course, he wasn't. He was wonderful, but he wasn't show quality. And he was big, and I liked the size. I didn't want to go back to getting a tiny Yorkie.
Mm.
And so I said, I want that breed, but I want it bigger. And that, of course, was the Silky.
Right. Right.
Yep.
Awesome. And so you have bred Silkies, am I correct?
Yes. And so I got my first Silky in 1981, and I've been breeding and showing ever since. And my kennel is a platinum, a breeder of merit. Mm-hmm. That's over 100 champions. And I just love it. And, you know, I can't see life without my dogs. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, none of us can. So. And so give us a little tiny bit before we segue into the book, which I'm very excited about. I always love for people to learn a tiny little bit about each breed that we talk about. So give me a quick, like, little bit about Silky Terriers, because I think they're a cool little breed.
Well, they're a neat little breed, and they're a low entry breed, which means that they don't have a lot of entries. So we're really working on that. They're a bright penny of a dog. They're a terrier. And of course, the nickname for a terrier is a terrorist.
Yeah.
And they are.
But yes.
When they decide that you are good enough for them, there's no other better feeling in the world. And they're a wonderful companion, great travel companion. They're always ready for the next adventure. They're a great breed.
And they have a very specific color.
Yes, they are tricolored. They're blue and tan, and the blue can be either silver, pigeon, or slate.
Right.
And they have a fawn topknot. So they're very striking.
But they don't have, as my beloved partner calls them, the jewelry group, right? They don't do jewelry.
Right.
That's like the way I explain to people that don't necessarily know, the way to tell a Silky from a Yorkie is that the Yorkie will have jewelry.
Right. The simplistic way is it's the one without the bow.
Right. 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 Right.
And they're a tough little dog.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, yeah. I've been around a few of them and they are definitely terriers.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah, yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. Very, very friendly and wonderful with people. Sometimes with other dogs, not so much.
Yes.
So that's the downside. Yeah.
And a little bit of prey drive, the ones I was around.
Oh, not a little bit. they're pretty, they do great in bar hunts and they do great in earth dog and all of that kind of stuff. And they're actually an up and coming agility dog, especially because the good ones are super fast.
Well, and I have people who run my dogs in agility wear hair pointers, and they're always looking for a little dog, right? Like everybody wants an under whatever it is, under 12 inches or under 9 inches or whatever the yep. size is, mm-hmm. right? And I know my one girlfriend has Havanese for that reason. So I would think yeah. they would mm-hmm. be super great at agility.
They're awesome. The one thing with a silky terrier is there's always the joke, how many silky terriers does it take to screw in a light bulb? And the answer to that is only one, but they'll only do it once.
Yes. I'm excited that they would do it once instead of half a turn and like, yeah, I'm over it, man.
Exactly. They will do it once and then they look at you and go,
yeah,
I did that yesterday.
No. It's awesome. Okay, so long history in purebred dogs, long history showing your dogs, obviously an accomplished yep. breeder. So what yep. brought you to the idea of doing a coloring book? Because I just love this.
Well, thank you. Well, when my kids got out of diapers and started to get a little bit older, I wanted to come back to one of my old professions, which was art. And I was trying to figure out how to do that in such a way that combined with the dogs. And so the product of that was my first book, which was almost like a graphic novel. It was How to Turn Your Dog into a Show-Off, and it was published by Doral in 2002. And after that, I did a couple of breed books for Animal Planet, and I was thinking, okay, so what's next? And starting in about 2010, 2011, I started doing what I call a series of headshots, where I just do the headpiece of the dog in pen and ink, and because obviously it's not my full-time job, I work on this over time, and by now I have 160 of them.
Right.
Of lots and lots and lots of different breeds. I think I sent you the German Wirehead Pointer at one point.
Yes, you did, actually, and I was a little yeah. bit like, wait, I'm confused, right? And then it all kind of clicked together when I got the book. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And this book is amazing because it
Thank
not
you.
Only... Here's my thing, right? I mean, Pure Dog Talk, I'm all about, this podcast is all about education. And so you yeah. have an educational platform targeted to children, although for all of us who like to color as a stress reliever.
Absolutely.
And you have beautiful artwork, but you have a little bit about each breed. And this particular yep. book that you've sent is for the toy group, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm, that's right.
It's wonderful. I'm sitting here, I'm looking at it. It has pictures of all of the breeds. It has bits and pieces of history and information about every single breed. And it's just wonderful. And even the color pictures in the beginning to help people understand. And at the end, right on the covers, to help people understand what these breeds actually look like other than the drawings.
Yes, because the inside always has to be black and white because, you know, you can't do a coloring book with color in the pictures.
Right.
But we had the option of doing the inside front cover and the inside back cover, just small pictures of each one.
Right.
And it's very helpful because once you know what they should be, then you can go crazy. You can
right.
do it in purple and pink polka dots, but you're coming from the concept, okay, those two, for example, long-coated and short-coated chihuahuas,
right.
they're various shades of tan, and mm-hmm. here's the black, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah.
Mm, I just love it. And of course, as someone who owns and my partner breeds pugs, I love the puggies are beautiful and all of the toy. I mean, really, truly, they're lovely. And so again, how did this, I mean, you must have had a goal other than just this is cool because I did other books, right?
Right. Well, I actually have a couple of goals. I mean, eventually my plan is to do all the AKC breeds. That's, as of right now, I believe it's 194
mm-hmm.
plus miscellaneous. And then goodness knows if I'm still alive, continue from there. But I want to do all breeds because one of my big things is I want to celebrate purebred dogs. Because to me, when I travel a lot for work, and I go out and I say the Dougals and the Diddles and the, on all of that stuff. And it's in the book about that too. Right. And people don't understand the variety of real breed dogs that's out there and available to them. And right. I want to educate them so they can see that.
Well, and I think that one of the things that many of us have talked about as we talk about all of the things, what can we do? How do we address the situation with purebred dogs versus crossbreed dogs versus what have you? How do we celebrate purebred dogs? How do we help people understand that? One of the things that every single time comes up is how do we approach children?
Yeah.
How do we reach the kids in school that, you know, the animal rights people are bombarding with adopt, don't shop messages?
Right. And this is a viable alternative. And rather than trying to go against these guys, it's, to me, these guys doing rescue, it's wonderful, but we're not the enemy and they're not our enemy. We need to work together and we need to figure out ways that we can be a solid team against a couple of people that just really don't think anybody should have a companion animal at all.
Right.
I mean, that's the real enemy.
Right.
Rescue people, when you say to them, well, did you realize that so-and-so doesn't think that you should own anything, any live animal?
Mm-hmm.
They go, oh, no, that's not true. But it's documented.
It is true. Here's the print. Yeah. Wow.
It's not just me thinking it. And so these guys are actually our allies, but they're being made into our enemies. And I don't like that. I don't think that's right.
Excellent.
And I want to do something about it.
Excellent. And so this is your way of doing something about it and bringing us all together, which I think is beautiful. And yeah. So you have the toy group, clearly starting with your, you know, what they always say about writers, start with what you know.
Exactly.
And so what's your plan going forward? What's our next one that we should look forward to?
Well, my next book is, and I've already started working on it, of course, is The Herding Group.
Okay.
Because I've done a lot of work with Briards. I've done trophies for one of their national specialties. So I have a lot of contact with those guys. And then basically the next one I do after that is going to depend on kind of who reaches out to me. Because I want to kind of move from known stepping stone to known stepping stone to known stepping stone. So people are eager and waiting for that particular one.
I love that. So here I'm going to put this shout out for you. Listeners,
uh-huh.
If you would like your group to be the one following herding, you should definitely reach out to Sandy. And we're going to have contact information
mm-hmm.
and links included in the blog post that will be on the website so you guys can reach Sandy. And so your goal is to have one for every single group and miscellaneous, correct?
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
I love it. I personally would like to color my pugs polka dot because they're so naughty.
Well, there you go.
There you go. Hang tight, guys. Got a little bit of information for you. We'll be right back to the podcast in a minute. Heads up, crew. Join our patrons today. Get immediate access to the support of a closed Facebook chat group, special patrons-only episodes, free mentoring sessions, and more. Just like the NPR of dogdom, Pure Dog Talk brings you the news, the knowledge, and the insight to succeed with your purebred dog. In exchange, our Pure Dog patrons share the love with monthly or annual gifts, and that helps defray the cost of overhead and sort of keeping the MP3s rolling, you know? Hit me up, laura@puredogtalk.com, and I'll hook you up with the details. And so do you encourage people to send you photos or how would it be? I mean, like, I'll bombard you with sporting dogs. What do you, I mean, what is it that you need? I guess would be my question. What is it that you need to make your next one following the herding group?
Well, what I need, because one of the things that I do in the coloring book, you might have noticed it, but of course your listeners who haven't seen the book don't note it yet. I crowdsource what I call in three words. In other words, I want to hear from people. In three words, how would you describe your breed? And it's harder than you'd think.
It's very tough. I've done it. It's really tough.
It's very tough. And because, you know, somebody who doesn't say no a German wire haired pointer, who doesn't know a pug or a silky,
right.
I mean, the breeders go, oh, they're wonderful. But what do you mean by wonderful? Because not every dog is for every person.
Right. Actually, in wire haired pointers, we do a lot of this because they are so not for every person, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty hard for me to imagine somebody that doesn't love a pug because they're so freaking adorable.
Yeah.
But, you know, somebody that isn't into the brachycephalic, that doesn't want to listen to a dog snore. You know, I have one girlfriend
right.
who can't share a hotel room with me because I might snore in the night. And she... like the idea of a dog that snores sends her screaming. So I think that's so important that we help people understand what these dogs are, what their job is, and what that means for the person who will live with them, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And little things like how easy are they to potty train or
right.
how yappy are they?
Yes.
And how much do they shed that everybody wants
to I don't
to
think
know
those are little
shed.
Things. I think those are pretty much the big things, right?
Exactly.
Like, honestly, they don't care if it's going to be 60 pounds. They want to know if it'll ever shut up.
Exactly. And you take something, for example, like a Sheltie, you want to understand, okay, this dog is going to bark. And if you cannot handle that.
Or an Icelandic sheepdog or a Finnish Spitz.
Right. Exactly. That their job is to bark.
Yes.
And they have been bred over many, many, many years to have a beautiful bark. Well, you're not going to undo that in two generations.
You're not going to undo that in 10 minutes, for sure.
For sure not. And quite frankly, you shouldn't.
Right,
you
exactly.
celebrate.
You should understand that if you purchase a wire hair pointer, its job was to kill cats in Germany. That was its job.
Right.
Okay? Like, mm-hmm. that's why they bred it, was right. to dispatch feral cats. If you want a dog mm-hmm. that will be nice to your cat, probably a wire hair pointer isn't your first choice. I'm not saying they can't do it. I have dogs that do. But yeah. don't go into it thinking that's the best option.
Right. And with Silkies, if you want to have a herd of 5 or 6 dogs that all right. get along automatically together, it ain't going to happen.
Right. It's probably not the breed for you. And I think, right. I guess, I mean, you and I follow a lot of the same, you know, preservation breeder and breeder education stuff. And I think that to me is so important. When you rescue a dog from the shelter, you're doing a great thing, but you don't know yeah. what you're getting. When you purchase no. a purebred dog, you do know what you're getting. And so you yep. should be prepared for what it is that you're buying.
Right, exactly. And when you get a dog from a quality breeder, and I have in the coloring book
mm-hmm.
exactly how to tell what a responsible
yes.
breeder is. And
yes.
some of the points are surprising.
Yes.
Is that breeder, I mean, I have a lady who now lives in New York who used to live near me in Bradenton, and she is on her third Tessier Silky, and we spent half of last weekend texting back and forth because her oldest had kidney failure and she had to put him down. And she was still communicating to me about this 16
right.
years into getting this dog. And that is normal. I mean, I am not right. unusual.
Well, and I think it's very interesting, Sandy, and I think what you're saying is absolutely hypercritical, okay? And I want to stop and put like a bracket around this because it is the part that I've gotten the most positive response when I talk to people who are not accustomed to purebred dogs and responsible breeders. And that is when you buy this puppy that's going to cost you $1,500 or $2,500 or whatever it is,
yep.
you get 24/7 tech support.
Yep.
And when you explain that to people, when you give yep. them that information that says you didn't just buy a Walmart suit, okay? You
right.
bought a quality produced item and it comes with support. It comes with customer service.
Right.
And I think that we as breeders need to be really focused on that and helping people understand why that's so important.
Yes, I totally agree with you. And I've saved dogs' lives that
right.
way, you know,
right.
and I have people who call me. And sometimes it's kind of, you know, they'll call me, well, so-and-so-and-so just pooped on the carpet. And I'm like, okay, why
right.
is he on the carpet?
Right.
Oh, and because when I sell a dog to somebody, they get a full notebook.
Mm-hmm.
of articles, you do it this way, you do it this way. And a lot of times they'll call me and go, well, you know, Josie May pooped on the carpet. And I go, okay, what part of, you know, what you should have been reading has she
right.
not done?
Right, right. Well, and I mean, God knows, you know, buying books, all they do is eat the covers. I get that. But realistically and legitimately, we are here and we can help people and we provide the information. And that is something that when you adopt a dog, even from the very best intentioned sources, you don't have that option.
You know what the most important part of my contract is? People laugh when I tell them it, but it is. If you buy a puppy from me, I need a Christmas card from you every year with pictures. I promise you I will not stalk you. I just want to hear on a yearly basis that your dog is doing okay.
Right. And, you know, I think it's important for people to understand there's a spectrum, right? Like I have puppy buyers that I send the puppy off at 8 weeks and I hear when it died at 12, right? I mean,
right.
I don't necessarily get a postcard every year, but the idea that you have that backstop, that you have that option that is so valuable in today's society where I can save you $1,000 vet bill. Call me and tell me what's going on and I'll tell you it's fine or it's not fine, right? Like that's our job.
Right. And I do that all the time.
Oh, constantly.
I do that all the time.
Constantly. And truly, I think that is so imperative for people to understand that we're here to help those people that buy the dogs from us, right? And that is what responsible breeders do. And there's a lot of value to rescue. There's a lot of value to purebred rescue. I mean, tons of options there. All of these things are good and valuable things. But purchasing a well-bred dog from a reputable breeder who's going to be there 15 years from now to cry with you when that dog dies.
Right. I was sitting in the middle of Nationals because we were at Nationals and I was at lunch and I was bawling my eyes out. This dog that I hadn't seen since he was 8 weeks old, but I've had maintained contact with the owner ever since. And she said, well, we just put him down. Mm-hmm. And I cried. And people were like, what's the matter?
Every single time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And
he's not my dog.
No.
I sold him when he was a puppy, but this lady has always kept in touch with me.
But I think that is something that again is perhaps misunderstood or not well explained, maybe within the general public, is that these are our children. It may be your dog, but I brought this dog into the world. I held it in my hands when it was born. This is my child and will be my child until it dies with you.
Right. I've always said that every single puppy that I ever breed came into existence because of my decision.
Correct.
So I have responsibility for that dog. I don't care whether it's a show dog or not.
Right.
From the day it's born until the day it dies.
Cradle to grave is so critical.
Cradle to grave. Last December, I had a lady call me on the 26th of December, and she told me that she had a dog, a retired show dog from me, and her sister had moved in, and she was very ill, and she couldn't keep the dog. So the day before Christmas, she had brought the dog into the vet to get him put down because she couldn't conceive that anybody would want a 10-year-old male dog.
Right. Yeah. I have a bitch who's now 11 that was 9.5 years old when she was returned to me, and she'll die here.
Exactly. And she finally realized that she has a contract with me to talk to me. And so she called me. I had that dog in foster care within half an hour and I had that dog rehomed.
Yep.
Because we have that network. That's what we can do.
Right. That's the beauty of what starts as a coloring book, Sandy.
Yes.
It starts as a coloring book and it has so much power to reach the general, I mean, we call them JQP, right? John Q Public out there. Hello, John Q Public. We want you to understand what we can offer you and what we can do for you.
Right. I want to change the dialogue because the dialogue has been shanghaied by animal rights people. And like I said, the majority of whom are really not our enemy, but there's a couple of real nasties out there. I mean, let's just be honest.
Yep, straight up.
And the dialogue has been shanghaied. I want it back.
Take back the conversation, I think, is my hashtag.
Yep. yep, that's right.
Awesome.
Exactly.
Awesome. Exactly. All right. Well, Sandy, I am thrilled to have gotten a chance to visit with you. I can't believe we've already been on the phone for half an hour.
I know,
right? So here's what we're going to do. Listeners, Sandy's going to send me some photos and some links, and you will get an opportunity to purchase this fabulous item. Give it to your kids, your grandkids, your nieces and nephews, your school children, whoever it is that you would like to share this with. And Sandy, I wish you the very best of luck and I hope to see more and more and more. And I'm going to just bombard you with wire hair pointer pictures.
I love it. I love it. Absolutely.
Awesome. All right. Thanks so much, Sandy. I sure appreciate your time.
Oh, my pleasure.
As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. The Dog Show Superintendents Association is a proud supporter of Pure Dog Talk. Our dog show superintendents are the hardworking people who make the dog show function. They are advocates for education and mentorship in the purebred dog fancy. So stop by the super's desk at your next show. Tell them how much you love Pure Dog Talk and give them a shout out for their support. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us on Pure Dog Talk.